Another fan episode right here on Locked On Spurs. We're going to go over some news and notes and give fans a chance to salute Manu Ginobili.
You are Locked On Spurs, your daily San Antonio Spurs podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to Locked On Spurs right here on the Locked On NBA Network. I'm your host, Jeff Garcia, Spurs writer for Kins 5 San Antonio. Glad to have you back. Hey, hope you had a great Labor Day day off. We took the day off yesterday right here on Locked On Spurs. We're back here at work, giving the latest and greatest on your silver and black. We're going to be discussing some of the latest Spurs news, including a reunion in Europe with Popovich visiting his old, visiting some old former coaches with him. And much, much more. Yeah, it's still slow right now, everybody. So we're going to try to get through this. But the highlight of this show is that fans are going to get a chance to give Manu Ginobili some love. He is set to go into the Hall of Fame this week. It's here. Countdown is on. So what do fans remember about number 20 as he gets ready to be enshrined among the greats? Who is joining me today on this fan episode of Locked On Spurs? You get two for the price of one. He is back. He is Abel Dominguez. Abel, welcome back to Locked On Spurs.
Hey, thanks for having me back.
And no, do not bring up She-Hulk. So zip it. All right? Zip it. Zip it. And Abel, I need your help because we have a possible Lando Calrissian coming on this show as well. Yeah. He may have betrayed the Alliance, Abel. Yeah, you hear him laughing already. You hear him laugh. He is Danny Sandoval, who betrayed Locked On Spurs by going on another podcast. Danny, you know, what happened? You know, you have an open door policy here, man, and you just broke my heart.
Well, first off, thank you for having me back. I appreciate it. Thank you for forgiving me for stepping out on you. And, you know, I mean, I can't keep all of these hot takes and all this information to myself. I mean, I need to spread the love. So, Kyle had invited me to his pod a few weeks ago. So I am always all too eager to talk Spurs when and wherever and where and whenever. So yeah, it was fun, but you know, I mean, ultimately my heart always resides right here on Locked On Spurs and with Jeff Garcia. So, even though I may have stepped out that one time, I am still ever faithful to you.
Abel, you buying or selling that apology?
I'm going to sell it. I just hope his Sancho was worth it.
Was it worth it, Danny? Was it worth it?
It's always worth it, Jeff. It's always worth it.
I'm going to need you to renounce that other podcast by the end of this show. I'm going to need to hear it. I'm going to need to hear Danny Sanders renounce that other show. Instantly.
I think it was a one-time. Yeah, it was a one-time deal, so yeah.
All right. Well, in all fairness, Danny did help, though. Him going on the show did bring in Kyle to talk about his Spurs Dynasty podcast documentary. So all in all, it worked out. We're just giving Danny a little bit of the business right here on Locked On Spurs. Guys, start off with Abel. How you doing? How you been?
Yeah, been all right. Just working and waiting for football and basketball to come back. Thankfully, football is starting to come back now.
You're a Dolphins fan, right?
That I am. I am. I was a young and impressionable 10-year-old when Ace Ventura came out, and I've been a Dolphins fan ever since.
Danny, can you believe that? His fandom based on a movie. I guess that's okay.
I always forget he's a Dolphins fan. So, like, whenever we're messaging one another and I sound like a Cowboys meme or something, I always forget that he isn't a Cowboys fan. That almost seems sacrilegious to be from here, to grow up in San Antonio, be a Spurs fan, and not be a Cowboys fan. I mean, I think it's pretty well known. If you grow up here in San Antonio, you always follow the Holy Trinity. It's the Spurs, the Cowboys, and the Longhorns. Now it's kind of the Roadrunners too, even though they kind of let one slip away over the weekend. But you need to follow those three teams. And I don't know, Abel, I mean, are you a Longhorns fan or no?
Yeah, I like the Longhorns. I've got a Colt McCoy jersey somewhere around here.
There we go. So, I mean, a little bit of redemption.
Well, Dan, I got to ask you, though, you know, we're going to get into some news and notes in a bit. But how are you handling this long offseason? You know, Spurs have been away from the court. Summer League came and went. It was kind of lackluster. You know, Primo didn't really play. The rook, you know, Sohan didn't play. It's been quiet, man. I mean, the highlight is Manu's induction this week.
Primo's been having some other things on his mind, obviously, and I don't blame
him. I wonder what that is.
You know what? These long off seasons are old hat now. I mean, this is what, like our third season in a row not making the playoffs, soon to be fourth next summer, and maybe even into that or farther into that. So I'm kind of getting used to it. I'm kind of getting used to just these long off seasons where we're done playing by April and we're watching the other teams win the Larry OB in June. And then, of course, really being excited for the draft nowadays. I mean, that's really where it seems the major excitement is nowadays. So, I mean, now we have the Cowboys to look forward to next weekend. Football is back. College football started this past weekend. NFL this upcoming weekend. So that's always exciting because, you know, like whenever football starts, I mean, you know, it's right around the corner. Fall is about to break. Temperature's about to start getting down, hopefully into the 80s. I mean, that's our little cold front for here. So I'm excited. Life's good. Can't complain. As long as I'm not 6 feet underground, I mean, I can't really complain about much. So,
Abel, how are you handling the long offseason? Since this is a fan episode, Abel, so I'll give you this question. How are you handling the long Spurs offseason, and how are Spurs fans in general handling the long offseason?
I mean, when it comes to the long offseason now, I'm kind of getting used to it. It sucks, but it is what it is. Like Danny said, the draft is the biggest excitement we have at the moment right now. Usually once we're done in April, I just turn off the TV. I try not to watch the playoffs or anything unless it's a really good series. But I mean,
right.
I just kind of let it be and just go about with whatever that's not basketball related.
And how are Spurs fans handling though? I mean, you know, social media, what are you noticing? Are they just kind of just in the same boat? Like it is what it is? Because, and I guess I bring up the long off seasons because the NBA hasn't had long off seasons in recent years. The pandemic really shut that down, but this is like the first true long off season. So for everybody involved, the whole league. So yeah, Abel, what are Spurs fans saying on social media?
I think Spurs fans on social media are just saying whatever they can to piss the other person off.
How fractured is that Spurs social media clique, Danny? I mean, it is so fractured. I mean, wars erupt every week.
You know, that's the fun part about it, Jeff. I mean, there's really nothing to do during the off season. I mean, we can't argue about Pop not playing rookies. We can't argue about what rotations. We can't argue about defensive schemes or who's getting shots or not getting shots. So we can't argue about any of that. Only thing we can argue about right now is, are the Spurs ever going to move to Austin? What's going on there? Why are their games being played in Austin and Mexico? And I mean, obviously, I think the big news last week was the Alamo Dome tickets going on sale. That was always exciting. People were posting their tickets, that was like kind of showing off their fandom and showing off for just kind of showing off in general where mm-hmm. they'll be sitting. And, but there's really nothing else to do. So yeah, I mean, it's kind of easy to rile people up. I know earlier this week I had posted something, which really, I mean, I can say this with all honesty. I was posting it simply because I was wanting to kind of just generate some dialogue as far as where the Spurs are going and what's happening as far as the business end of things. I really had started to make some comparisons to the Oklahoma City Thunder and some other teams, some other small market teams, to see where the Spurs stack up as far as their revenue. And lo and behold, I mean, I had another member of Spurs Twitter come at me, and I mean, it's not the first time. But it was all, I mean, you know, you kind of take those things in stride because ultimately it doesn't matter. I mean, we all see things differently. We can never agree on anything. And the issue is never the issue. It's more it's more about personalities. And it's like, hey, if one member of Spurs Twitter doesn't like the other member, I mean, I could cure cancer at this point and I would still be disliked. So, well.
Yeah. That's how fractured it is. But yeah, enough of that. When we get back, we're going to be discussing some Spurs news and notes and get the reaction from Abel and Danny on that, and then get their thoughts on Manu Ginobili as he is set to make his name etched among the greatest ever to play basketball in the Basketball Hall of Fame. But hey, thanks for making Locked On Spurs your first listen each and every day. We are free and available wherever you get podcasts. And I want to talk to you about Built Bar. Look, if you haven't tried Built Bar Puffs yet, you are depriving yourself of one of life's greatest joys. And guess what? There's a new flavor. Get ready. Delicious, indulgent cookie dough covered in chocolate. That's right. Built has done it again. Let me introduce you to your new favorite cookie dough chunk puff. Have a light, chewy texture, real cookie dough chunks, and of course, they're covered in 100% real chocolate. All of the joys of eating cookie dough without the hassle of making it, plus it's healthy for you. Cookie dough chunk puffs are only 160 calories, and they got a whopping 15 grams of protein in them. You want to go to Built.com right now, get yourself a box for you and the family. It's the perfect treat, or you can really find a good hiding place and just hoard them for yourself. Either way, go to Built.com. Like all Built bars, the new cookie dough chunk puff is covered in 100% real chocolate. That means they're healthy and delicious and tasty. Chocolate covered cookie dough with light, fluffy texture. So good. Look, what's great about Built is that all of their bars are made with collagen protein. That's just a fancy way of saying it absorbs into your body more efficiently and provides tons of health benefits. Eat something that tastes good and is good for you. You're going to love the new cookie dough chunk puff. Use it as a snack, a late night treat. Grab a quick bite. It's there for you. It's a perfect protein bar. Tastes better than a candy bar. So ditch those calories, that fat, that sugar. Get yourself a Built bar. You want to go to Built.com right now. Use promo code LOCK15. Get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCK15. We are back right here on this fan episode of Locked On Spurs. You get two for the price of one today. You get Abel Dominguez and Danny Sanders. Abel Dominguez is trying his best to bite his tongue and not bring up She-Hulk. He's been begging me all day to bring up She-Hulk, and I'm not.
You know, you want to talk about that scene. You know, you want to say something.
Not about the whole show, just about the cringe in the last episode. So,
maybe you know what I want to know about that show? I mean, okay. I haven't watched seconds of it. I probably won't. But I want to know who pitched that show. Who had the balls to go in and pitch a show?
Well, it's the mouse
about She-Hulk going in and being a lawyer.
The mouse did, Mickey Mouse. That's what it was.
Yeah,
they're trying to get that money on you. But hey, guys, before we talk Manu Ginobili, give him some shine. Let's get some latest news and notes. And I'm gonna start off with Abel with this one. Abel, Jeremy Sochan. You know, so far, at least college highlights, good basketball player. We don't know without translating to NBA, but it was a number 9 pick. Spurs fans are very anxious to see him play. But as we get to know the newest Spur, Abel, how excited were you to find out that he is a big Star Wars / Lego nerd?
I was kind of happy when I saw that. It kind of brought a little bit of humanity to the kid. I would love to see what the hell he can buy with all that money. How much Lego stuff?
Yeah, Danny. I don't know if you know this, you know, because you know I know you're a nerd, but not like to the level that me and Abel are at. But Those Lego sets go for a pretty penny. They're right, Abel. They're not cheap.
Yeah, I saw a Voltron one at the North Star Lego store for over $100, and I would have bought it if I had the money.
You know, Danny. You know, when we get to know these kids, we forget that they are kids. He's just a 19-year-old kid. And hopefully, with this new influx of youth, that maybe the Spurs will let us get to know these players better. Danny, your thoughts?
You know, whenever I saw that post, and even though I'm not a big Star Wars or Star Trek or any kind of star nerd, it kind of warmed my heart that there's still a little bit of innocence there, right? I mean, these are kids. I mean, we forget that because for so long, the Spurs were associated with veterans and grizzled veterans at that, right? But these are kids who were drafted now. These are 18 and 19-year-old kids. It's hard to believe they were already born in the 2000s, right? I think Sochan was born in 2003. So that's just wild to me that, I mean, they were born after 9/11. I mean, they didn't even know. They were not alive to watch the towers fall. That's crazy to me. But there is a certain amount of innocence there that I hope that they continue to keep, even as they get they get kind of just swung around the NBA mill and go through the 82-game grind. That's cool to see. I like it.
Yeah. If you want to see Sohan and his nerddom, go to kens5.com/Spurs right now. Can't miss it because I was in charge of that post, and you really cannot miss it that I wrote it. It's Sohan next to AT-AT Walkers from Star Wars. Why I highlighted the AT Walkers Abels because I think that those are the Lego set that he was looking at, like one of them, the one of the many. But yeah, it's there. Go check it out. In other Spurs news, Danny, the Austin Spurs released their new schedule. They will be tipping off the Showcase Cup to begin their season, but their regular season won't start off till about a month later. Danny, get your fan thoughts on this. Do Spurs fans ever go to Austin Spurs games? I know. Obviously, if you live near the area in Austin, you know you go. But I don't hear San Antonio-based Spurs fans making the trek up to go see the Austin Spurs.
You know, that's a good question. I've never seen anybody post some pictures there. I know there's been some bloggers that have gone to go visit, and they've posted some pictures. But I mean, there's not anyone I've seen as far as any of the hardcore fans that have gone and posted pictures that, hey, I'm over here in Austin to watch the Austin Spurs. Right. I think it's a one-way thing, right? I mean, I think if you're in Austin, you're going to go see the Austin Spurs, or you're going to make the trek down to San Antonio. But I don't think San Antonio Spurs fans go up to see Austin Spurs very much. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. That might change. I mean, we always make the joke of rookies playing up in Austin. I hope we don't see that this year. But I have to believe at some point the rookies will probably make a visit to Austin, and they should. I mean, Austin's a great town. I love it. Like we're talking about, Sohan was there this past weekend, and I think he got a few more tats and probably visited Sixth Street and enjoyed the Longhorns' victory after Saturday. Even though I know
all the offerings that Sixth Street provides.
Oh, of course, right? I mean, I know there's some good, clean Christian fun going on down there.
Of course,
especially being a Baylor guy, right? I mean, Baylor University.
That's true. That's true. Abel, have you ever gone to an Austin Spurs game?
I have not. If I'm in Austin, granted, it's been probably over a decade since I've been, but if I'm in Austin, I'm going to Trudy's for Mexican Martini, and then I'm going drinking somewhere else. So I've never been to a Austin Spurs game up there.
Yeah.
Doubt I ever would. And if the Spurs were to move up there, I'm certainly not going, just out of protesting.
I've been to three. And back in the day when they were the Austin Toros and they were just begging for any type of attention, I remember they would let me get on the court with the players. Like they're taking practice shots, like in warmups. They would say, yeah, go ahead, have at it. And I'll be at the free throw line with some of the players. I'd be on the bench with some of the players. Fast forward to today, that's changed dramatically now. Now it's getting a little tighter. But nevertheless, the Austin Spurs schedule is out. Go check it out, kens5.com/Spurs. Abel, and other Spurs news, did you see that incredible mural dedicated to Spurs, Manu Ginobili, and your favorite Spur of all time, Marco Bellinelli? Great mural. It's in Italy. And a lot of Spurs fans were like, well, we get Manu getting the love, you know, but why Marco? Well, because it's in Italy and he's like their hero. So obviously he's going to be featured in a mural. But Abel, have you ever seen any of the murals in San Antonio? Do you have a favorite one?
Honestly, I think the only mural I've ever seen in San Antonio is, what is it? The Coyote one that is right next to, what is it? Best Tickets there off AT&T Parkway on the wall there. I think that's the only one I've ever gone out of my way to see, unfortunately.
You're really a big Spurs fan, aren't you? You don't go see Austin Spurs. Don't go check out the murals.
Yeah, I guess so.
I'm waiting for the mural, Abel, of Danny Sandoval renouncing the other podcast that he went on, you know, and betraying Lockdown Spurs. But Danny, do you have a favorite mural in San Antonio?
I do have a favorite mural. I love the Spurs so much. That mural that's over there off of Grayson near the Pearl, that's a cool one. I think there's been some fans, and I think even the Coyote took some photos there. there's a cool mural over there right off of McCullough. I think it's like near McCullough downtown. There's like an old, like, I don't know, it's like, it's an old dilapidated building, and you go every 2 or 3 months and the murals change there. Yeah, there's some pretty talented people here. And see, I like it whenever it's mural style as opposed to how it was like maybe 10 or 12 years ago, whenever graffiti got really bad in the city, and it was in really inopportune places. But if it's art, that's one thing. Art can be appreciated that way. So yeah, I mean, I think it's cool whenever they use their talent for good that way.
And finally, in other Spurs news, and I expect Abel and Danny to attend, there's going to be a tip-off of the season party presented by Keldon Johnson next month. That's right, before the Spurs season starts in just a few weeks. Keldon Johnson will be meeting fans next month. It'll be at Top Golf, and it's, you know, part of the whole, you know, let's get the season on the right foot. Again, it'll be on October 16th from 6 to 9 p.m. at Top Golf near San Antonio. That's at 5539 North Loop 1604 West Access Road, 78249. Once again, Keldon Johnson putting himself up front and center. Danny, is this whole part of this just, you know, his way of saying, hey, look, as of right now, this is my team and I'm going to be with fans? He was at the UTSA game. He just goes and hangs out with fans. He doesn't usually have PR kind of wrangling him in. Danny, your thoughts on Keldon Johnson not only doing this for fans, but just the way he is with fans? It's like you forget that it's Keldon Johnson, pro basketball player, and he's trying to be like Keldon Johnson, just the San Antonian.
I'm with it. I appreciate it. I'm glad that he's ingratiating himself to the city. He was actually in attendance to watch my son win busing contest back in February. If I haven't said that enough. So yeah, I mean, I know he's a fan of my son, and yeah, that was cool to watch him there yesterday.
Wait, we talk about the event where he did, where your son did the mutton busing thing?
Yeah, the mutton busting.
Oh, remember the mutton busting. Yeah, I remember that.
The mutton busting champion of that night there at the rodeo, the stock show and rodeo. So he was there. He was watching. He was cheering. I know, because I think as soon as I saw my son win, I got my binoculars. I'm wanting to see what Kelvin's reaction is, and he was hooping and hollering, so I appreciate that. But yeah, I mean, it's cool. It's cool to see him out and about. I know he's done some things also with a shoe company here in town where he's really a collector of fine shoes. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
I like to see that, because again, kind of like what we're talking about earlier, it just kind of goes to the youth of the team, and they want to get out, they want to be seen. That's part of their branding. Let them do that. That's what we want. We want to see more of our team. We want to have more access to them, and that's another way they can do it. So I'm all for it for sure.
Abel, you know, again, we're trying to get the pulse of the fan base here. Do you sense that Spurs fans like seeing Keldon just getting out there? Because, you know, we know this, you know, back in the day, Spurs PR would wrangle these people in, you know, these players in. If Duncan just wanted to go to Chick-fil-A, they probably would have had a representative there with them. But now it's not like that. You know, these players just go out there. Lonnie Walker was really good at that. He just show up to sneaker cons and comic cons. Keldon the same way. Abel, do fans sense that as well with Keldon?
Yeah, I think so. I think the fans really want to see Keldon, whoever they can, with the Spurs, just out and about, kind of being a normal person, as normal as they can be here in town, at least. So I think it's good that he's doing it, that hopefully the younger Spurs see that and take part in that example as well. My only gripe is going to be with the opening event there next month. Like I said, they don't need another reason to make Top Golf more packed than it already is. Because you go there on a Friday, Saturday night, you're waiting for 2 hours before you get a lane or whatever you call it up there. They don't need to keep doing that during the week.
Wait, are you going to go to that event? It's open to the public. I mean, I mean, you obviously get, you may have to pay something, but I mean, would you go to that?
I might. I mean, Top Golf isn't that far from where I live right now, so I might go. It's in a month.
I would say it'd take Danny, but he may betray you and not show up, or not you know, say he's going to go with somebody else. But anyway,
a podcast scheduled with Kyle that night. If I'm not in the
scene. Brutal. Burn. All right. When we get back, we're going to give Abel and Danny a chance to give their flowers to Manu Ginobili. That's right. He is set to get inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame at the end of this week. So now Spurs fans are going to start coming on Locked On Spurs. We kick it off with Danny and Abel as they get set to give their props to number 20. We're back right here on this fan episode of Locked On Spurs, and we're about to let Danny Sandoval and Abel Dominguez give their thoughts about Manu Ginobili as he gets set to be enshrined among the greatest of the greatest of the cream of the crop, all that good stuff, the Basketball Hall of Fame. Abel, let you get the first shot at this. You know, what is your favorite Manu memory? How did you take it when there were a segment of people saying that he is not first ballot, which was ridiculous? And how's it for you as a fan that lived through the Manu Ginobili era in San Antonio, now see him reach the apex of basketball immortality?
I think it's great that he's being inducted, and especially that he's a first ballot. I mean, he deserved to be a first ballot because this is not the NBA Hall of Fame. It's the Basketball Hall of Fame. And I mean, in 04, he beat the U.S. for a gold medal pretty handily. He is essentially the Michael Jordan of Argentina, if not South America as a whole. He absolutely deserves this. I mean, I remember middle 2000s, his Go For Three commercials with Time Warner, with then Time Warner. I mean, he's done so much. The dunk in 14, the taking out a bat, what was that, 12 years ago?
Yeah, that's when you knew he was a lock for the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, no one wanted to touch it, and he just swipes it and gets it the first try.
Yeah. Yeah, will you be a little touched when you see Manu make his speech? I mean, he's always been kind of a little bit more emotional. Not crybaby or anything like that, just, you know, he lets it out there. So I'm expecting him to maybe shed a few tears.
Oh, yeah, I could see that. I mean, I almost cried when Duncan gave his speech. I'm sure I would do the same for Manu when he does it, and Tony when he gets his.
All right, Danny, you're up. I got to get your take on this. I mean, there were really people out there saying he's not first ballot. They must have been smoking the good stuff, Danny.
That's nonsense, and those people are a word I can't say on this podcast because it's a family show. But, I mean, let's be real. Whenever we think about the big three, obviously Tim was the most talented. Tim was the one who gave structure to the Spurs and laid the foundation, and everything started and ended with Tim Duncan. And whenever he retired, then the Spurs were no longer the Spurs. But whenever we think about Manu Ginobili, right, I mean, he was probably the most beloved Spur. He's probably going to be the most beloved Spur of all time. And people might ask, like, why? Why is that? And I think the low-hanging fruit answer is, hey, I mean, he was Latino. He spoke Spanish. He really just put himself out in the community. But yeah, that's part of it, sure. I mean, we always like a good Latino who speaks Spanish and can be in our commercials, right? I mean, we enjoy that. But it's more than that. It's the fact that he literally gave his body for this organization. And I don't think I have to remind everybody. I mean, he literally gave a testicle up for this organization.
Gave one of his boys up. Yep.
Yeah, he did. And I mean, it's funny because I'm thinking back on that play. I mean, I think every single other person or every other man, every other male on this planet, had that happen, there would have been a lot more reaction than when Manu gave. I think Manu, he was on the floor maybe for a few moments, and he got up and he got taken to the back by the trainer. But I mean, there was like no like screaming or yelling in pain or writhing in pain. I mean, it was unbelievable. I mean, I think Brent had the best nickname for him, which was El Contusion, because I mean, he just, I mean, he totally gave his body up every single play that he was in there. And for those young Spurs fans and the fans that weren't really fans up until we won the title in 2014, I think what people don't remember about Manu is there was a lot of argument over, especially like I think I want to say back in 7, 8, and 9. I mean, he ultimately, and he said this publicly. I mean, for him, it was a bigger deal to win a national championship with Argentina than an NBA championship. So for that reason, he would go in the same way he would play for the Spurs. He would play for his national team or Argentina, and mm-hmm. we'd watch him at the world championships and playing overseas. And he, I mean, there were some pretty serious ankle injuries that really kept him out of some very key. And I think I want to say in 2009, if I'm not mistaken, the Mavs swept us because Manu didn't play in the playoffs that year. And it was because of that ankle injury, the ankle injury that he had initially gotten in Argentina with the national team. And there was some frustration there because it's like, hey, I mean, you play for the Spurs, right? But that's not how Manu looked at it. Manu looked at it as, hey, I'm from Argentina. That's my home country. It's my homeland. I'm going to play for that team. And especially, I mean, we know what happened back in 2002 when they first beat the in 2002, right? 2002, they beat the U.S. team, or at least mm-hmm. they came close.
That was in Indianapolis, yeah.
Yes. So that's kind of when it all started for that team. And, I mean, they had Nocioni and Fabricio, Alberto, and yep. Scola. I mean, all these great players. But Manu was the greatest.
Don't forget about Abel Dominguez was on that squad, too.
Yeah, there we go. I mean,
Abel. Way to go, Abel.
Yeah. But, I mean, Manu – there's never going to be another player like Manu. I'm thrilled to be able to watch him go into the Hall of Fame. He's definitely deserving. He's so deserving, definitely deserving of the first ballot. I can't wait to hear stories. That's what I really like about times like this. I mean, if we remember a year or two ago, whenever Tim was inducted, we heard stories. We heard Tim actually tell some stories about Pop and about the Spurs and about his journey. And that's something we never got from them. And I mean, I don't want to make this an argument about, I mean, why we don't get the same access as other teams, but I always enjoy hearing the stories, and I hope we get a story or two out of him.
Those are going to come. You know, I believe Friday night is kind of like the mingling party before the big event on Saturday, so that's where a lot of the stories will come out. But yeah, do you have a favorite Manu moment?
You know, I do, absolutely. It's probably my favorite Manu game, and I don't know if it's my favorite because I had just moved away from home and I was feeling homesick, but in 2005, January of 2005, it was a game against the Suns, national TV game on ESPN, Friday night. The Spurs had been playing real well pretty much all year, but the Suns, surprisingly, kind of came out of nowhere, and they were playing really well that year too. And of course, later on, they'd go and they'd meet in the Western Conference Finals where the Spurs beat them and went on to win the title. But I remember that game. That was really kind of Manu's, I think, national coming out party, because we knew how good he was and we knew what a valuable player he was. But I don't think the national media really knew what we had in him. And I remember he went and he scored, I think, 48 points that night. And it was a really good game. It went into overtime. We won, I think, by 3 or 4. But Manu really carried us, and he had this one particular play where he pretty much dunked on the entire city of Phoenix, and I'll never forget it. Like, I mean, I literally was jumping up and down in my room that night and just screaming and really just, I mean, just being proud of being a Spurs fan, a Manu fan, and being proud of knowing, like, hey, I mean, everybody else sees what we have now too. And that was really, like I said, the coming out party for him on a national level. And of course, later on, he had massively great games against the Nuggets and the Sonics, and of course the Pistons in the finals. And I mean, there's an argument to be made that he could have been co-MVP with him that year. But I mean, there's just so many good memories with Manu, but I think that's probably one of my favorites.
Yeah, it's going to be a great night for all Spurs fans and the franchise itself. You know, probably him, obviously, this week, and then Tony next. And it might be a while before another Spur gets in there. There's going to be a long dry spell, fellas, before this happens again. What's what I'm saying? Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, after Tony, it'll be a dry spell.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it'll probably be Pop. I mean, if you know, he should have been in by now, because I think coaches are different. Coaches don't have to wait like the whole time after they're done. You know, they can go in when they're eligible.
but he still has yet to do that. Maybe Becky will be next. You know, but as far as a player is concerned, it'll be a while. But yeah, it's going to be a great night. A lot of Spurs fans are going to be tuned in this weekend to see Manu get enshrined among the best of the best. But this whole week, yeah, we're going to be bringing in fans left and right so they can share their memories and their thoughts about Manu Ginobili. And we kick it off with Danny and Abel. We're done talking. We want to hear from you. What do you think about the latest Spurs news and notes? Do you collect Legos, Star Wars sets the way Jeremy Zohan does? And we'll be checking out KJ as he helps you and the rest of the fan base get ready for a very long season. Spurs fans, get ready for it. And this is where Abel's probably chanting Wemby right now, right? You're chanting Wemby?
Not yet, but I want to. I really want to.
Did you see some Spurs fans are kind of like, they're okay with Wemby, but they're already getting that whole look at his knees vibe. They're like, uh-oh.
Yeah, they probably are. I'm just more of the opinion of, with this whole tanking thing, it can work, but it also can't. It can also backfire.
Well, I think that's a great cliffhanger for another episode of Lockdown Spurs. Danny's probably chanting Wemby as well, right?
I've been chanting Wemby since earlier this year. And really, at this point, I think I posted it the other day. Give me Wemby or give me Scoot. Either one of those.
Yeah, you're good. Yeah.
I'm good with. It's just the opportunity to have a great player with elite talent. And both of them do. Right. And yeah, I mean, Wemby, his size and some of his body things kind of give me a little bit of pause because we see what happened with Chet Holmgren, which is the same thing I said a lot of times. That would happen with him, but his body seems to be a little different, but there is that concern about his height and just managing that many NBA minutes. But Scoot looks really nice, really, really nice.
Well, for the Spurs got competition for the race to the bottom with the Jazz pulling the plug on their season as well. That Jazz Spurs games are going to be great, aren't they, Danny? You know, who's going to be missing the most layups?
You know,
who's going to be turning the ball over the most?
I want to see some turnovers. I mean, This is my take, and I mean, this is the honest truth. We've had so much excellence in just competing and winning over the last however many years, to where I want to see us be excellent at losing, to where I want to break the record this year. I want to break the record for most losses. That way it gives us the best opportunity to have the highest pick we can get, because that's just where I'm at right now. That's where I think we need to be as a team and an organization. Put ourselves in the best position to get the best talent out there. And let's see where the cookie crumbles.
All right. Well, there you have it. Danny Sanders and Abel Dominguez on this episode of Lockdown Spurs, or should I say fan episode. But yes, once again, thank you for making Lockdown Spurs your first listen each and every day. Again, free and available wherever you get podcasts. Now, for a second listen, go check out the Ultimate Pro Football Preview, an 8-episode extravaganza that'll get you ready for the NFL season, the local experts of the Lockdown Podcast Network, plus a betting angle from Lee Sterling of Lockdown Bets, all combining into one Ultimate NFL Preview. Search for Ultimate Pro Football Preview 2022 on your Odyssey app, YouTube, or wherever you get podcasts. Danny, Abel, thank you for hopping on this fan episode of Lockdown Spurs. But for Danny Sandoval and Abel Dominguez, and hopefully Abel doesn't go down the path of Danny and betray us, Abel.
I won't.
You learn your lesson? All right. Did you learn from the mistake that Danny did?
Yes.
All right. I guess we'll have Danny down the road. He'll be back, but all kidding aside, thanks again, Danny and Abel. So for Danny and Abel, I am Jeff Garcia. We're going to put a lock on this episode of Locked On Spurs.